All right. Here, make sure it's off. We don't want any feedback. All right. Thank you, Trevor, my friend. God bless you. Did everybody kind of get a bulletin? We're starting to make these a little bit, like, you know, that wanted to come in, or, you know. Barbara was running around making these this morning. Did everybody get a communion cup that would be interested in taking communion? So we're going to have communion at some point. So if you need one, at some point in time, we shall get one to you. I also wanted to continue on in our gratitude since Thanksgiving. We've been kind of in this thanksgiving mode. But I just wanted to continue to say thank you to those, particularly those that continue to show up in services. Thank you to those that keep coming out in person. It's nice to see some faces. It's nice to minister to a crowd. Thank you for those that continue to show up as well on Facebook and Zoom in and watch us online. Those that jump in on Zoom prayers, thank you. Those that show up in person for prayer times and for Bible studies, midweek services, thank you. There's Bible studies and classes. Thank you for those that are using the church app for prayer requests and knowing who's in the doghouse and who you're praying for this week. Thank you for using the church app and your giving. Jody, I noticed you made it fairly simple for us, trying to illustrate how to use the church app, because a lot of us don't really understand how to use the church app yet. So thank you, Miss Jody. We appreciate all of that. Thank you for your participation and all of your involvement. I also wanted to extend a special thanks out to the Lake Clark Shores Police Department. You know I'm a police chaplain with the Lake Clark Shores Police Department, but especially to Chief Smith, just for his generosity and looking out for us and for our property. Last night we had a tree lighting at Lake Clark Shores, which was eventful, and also Flagler Bank. Flagler Bank's right here, right next door to us. They're our neighbor. They've made some recent donations in food for the food distribution. They've made some recent donations to our church as well. I just love dealing with a community bank. They see what we're doing and they want to be involved and help and are being a part of our community. And so, you know, I'm a big community guy, like being involved in our community. So thank you. Thank you, each and every one, for being friends. Thank you for partnering with us in service to our community. Thank you for continuing to give. Thank you for continuing to show up and participate in the church. Thank you for thinking of us. Well, we're going to be moving into Isaiah, and this is a passage that is often used for the references to peace. Do you ever feel as if to bring peace requires a fight? You ever thought that? Or have you ever thought to bring peace, you know, you have to fight the containment of evil? All I know is that I got a lot closer this week to understanding what it really is to say, you are my Prince of Peace, and what that really, really means. I felt like this week I fought a lot of battles. And so, you know, I put on the armor of God. Many of us knows what that means. And I'm reminded that I am a warrior for peace. Yesterday I was wearing my police chaplain's uniform, and that's a peace officer. And, you know, even though I kind of look, you know, maybe I got looking sharp today, you know, even though my suit's pressed and, you know, I'm looking okay, whenever I put on that full armor of God, you know, my armor of God, it ain't so pretty. It's dented and tattered and beat up, and I'm pretty sure it's smudged in blood and sweat and tears. Can't I just get some peace and quiet? Is that too much to ask?
No.
I hear my dad. Anybody else hear their parents? I hear my dad.
Can I just get some peace and quiet?
I hear my dad. Just one more way we grow up into being our parents, right? I'm not going to grow up to be my dad. Oh, man, I say the same things he said. Oh, my goodness. Does anybody ever get stressed out at times? Maybe it's the holiday season. You're a little bit overwhelmed. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's job. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's car. Maybe it's house. Maybe it's, and the list goes on and on and on. Maybe it's Christmas time, the busiest time of the year. It's the most joyful, cheerful time of the year. You have to buy this gift. You have to go there to get it. You have to go to that party. You have to write 3,492 Christmas cards. Plus, you have to do everything that you normally do. I looked up peace in the Oxford Dictionary. Peace. What is this peace? Well, here it is. Tranquility. Mental calm. I experience a lot of mental, but calm. Mental calm. And then it goes on, freedom from war, a treaty ending or a stoppage of war, freedom from civil disorder, right? That goes back to my original statement. Do you ever feel as if to bring peace, you have to fight? Treaty ending or stoppage to what? Stoppage to war. Freedom from disorder. It seems the majority of our peace seems to happen when conflicts and problems are not present. I'm not anxious. I'm at peace. I'm not worried. I'm at peace. The peace seems to be the absence of certain things. And with the absence of certain things, then I can have calm tranquility. Is that spiritual peace? See, is peace the absence of some things, or is peace the presence of something? Can I have or can I obtain peace in the midst of chaos, of course? Man, this past week I felt like my heart had been run over by a truck. I couldn't find peace anywhere. Couldn't settle my mind. Couldn't find peace to rest my soul. There was no peace in wrestling and finances, no peace in resolving relationships that were in strife. I couldn't find tranquility or serenity in anything. Toss and turn all night long, tormented in restlessness, no sleep. Anybody ever been like that? We all experience it on some level. And so I came across some of these observations of when people will lose their peace. I just want to share some of them with you. Maybe you'll be able to recognize it as moments when you lose your mental calm. When life seems uncontrollable, we lose our peace. When we plan for one thing to happen and something else happens instead, we can get very frustrated. When I was anticipating something good and it turned out to be something bad. We do not like to be out of control. You're fired. You got laid off. Here's a pink slip. Death of a spouse, untimely death of a child, car accident. Man, we don't like when life is uncontrollable. We lose our peace. And listen, it doesn't even have to be that dramatic. It can be as simple as I'm going to the grocery store to get some bread and milk, and I walk to the checkout line. Are you kidding me? It's going to take me longer to check out than it did to buy the milk and bread. Lost my peace. There's 16 people in front. Oh, goodness gracious. Lose my peace. Didn't plan for this. Uncontrollable. Or how about this? For me, it's like standing at the back of the sermon, you know, at the end of the sermon, you know, at the end of the service, and just going, great job, Pastor. Great job, Pastor. Oh, yeah, high five, Pastor. That was awesome. Yeah, man, five. Oh, it was great. Great sermon. Great service. Yeah, I loved service today. Yeah, the music was good. Your preaching was all right. You know, 100 times. Yeah, that's great. That's great. One guy says, I did not like what you did today. Guess where your brain goes? Guess where my mind's at? Toss and turn. Oh, my God. You get 100 attaboys in the one, and that's one you remember? There's something about us, right? There's something about us that says, I'm not at peace. 99.9% of the time, yeah, yeah. But that one, and man, our world is rocked. There goes my peace. When people are stubborn and unchangeable, anybody got people in our lives, family, stubborn and unchangeable? Yeah? We lose our peace. We lose our peace. And the reality is, why can't they be more like me? Why don't they vote like me? Why don't they dress like me? Why don't they act like me? Why don't they think like me? Lose our peace. People are frustrating, aren't they? Your kids are frustrating, aren't they? Why aren't they what I want them to be? People, children, spouses, they make us lose all our peace. Just about everything and everyone in the world. That's, you know, it's just people. People. Then there's the problems that go along. Forget about the people that are stubborn and frustrating and making you stand in a long line. It's just the problem themselves, right? It's not just that the problems can sometimes be uncontrollable, or the circumstances can be uncontrollable. Listen, they become unexplainable. They're unexplainable. We will lose our peace. Listen, when I encounter problems of my own doing, I can kind of get, oh, there's consequences or struggles or problems. Okay, I get that. But what if it's not of my own doing? What about cancer? What about unwanted illness, untimely death? And no explanation. Talk to the doctor of my sister-in-law. Why was her leg amputated? They don't know. To save the rest of her? What was wrong with the leg? We don't know. What? Yeah, we don't know. Unexplainable? Ask my other sister-in-law why a muscle deficiency would drive her to the point she could barely get out of bed. Whatever happened? Did you have muscular dystrophy? Did you have muscular sclerosis? What attacked you so? We don't know. We lose our peace quick. Lose our peace quick. And why does it happen to some and not to others? Man, when facing all sorts of circumstances, it's difficult. Peace is difficult to come by. Especially when you realize and think of it as something you have to achieve and accomplish. And then when pain is unbearable, oof, when it hurts too much to be in this world, it hurts too much in the flesh. See, it's not enough to just have the problem. Now the problem is pain in your own body. Anyone ever been so emotionally distraught that it causes physical anguish? Yeah, right? Stress levels add to heart problems. That's not a physical issue, right? It's a process going on in your thoughts and your coping mechanisms. You're not at peace. Stress levels way up and you're having a heart attack. Here's one that might sound a little more spiritual. When the past is unforgivable or unresolved or unforgiven. When you will not come to peace with your past. You hold on to your past, cling to it, and it's bitter and it's ugly. You hold on to it. I have no peace. Why? Because of my past. Okay. There are entire ministries dedicated to restoring peace in people's lives. You get that? There's entire ministries dedicated to resolving conflicts within fellowship of believers. There's entire ministries taking place of resolving conflicts and uneasiness in marriages, right? Peacemakers and peace fires and even peace officers, right? Just goes on and on. Marriage counseling, it just goes on and on and on. Evil is present in the world. Evil's present in the world. Just turn on the TV. You'll see it because they love to tell you about it. And you should be afraid of it. And then there's God going, hey, do not be afraid. Yeah, but all the people are telling me I should not be at peace. I have a lot of things to fear. God's going, be at rest. Oh, ye that are heavy burdened, come unto me. You will find your rest. You will find your peace. You will find your mental calm. Yeah, but you didn't watch what happened yesterday in Ohio. You didn't see what happened. You don't know about the fires. Do you think God doesn't know? Somehow God's uneasy and not at peace. Why can't I just get some peace around here? From what? What are you trying to get peace from? That which is the uncontrollable? That which is the unchangeable? That which is the unexplainable? What are you trying to get peace from? The unforgivable past? The unbearable pain? See, it's the plans, and it's the problems, and it's the people. Can peace even be achieved? Forget world peace. World peace. World peace? Are you kidding me? World peace can be achieved. You think so? We haven't done it yet. How much longer are we going to go? You think world peace? No. World peace. Forget world peace. I'd just like some peace in my home. I'd just like some peace in my own heart. I'd like some peace in my own neighborhood. Anybody with me? Is peace something to acquire? Is peace something to earn and to accomplish? Is it a goal in life? Did you ever raise up your kids and go, someday you'll find peace? You know, you could be anything in the world you want to be. I hope you find peace. You know, you hope they're happy. Can they be happy without peace? Are they going to find peace in this world? Are they going to find a lot of peace in people? Peace begins in your own heart before it can ever even begin anywhere else. And the majority of the problem is people are walking around with no peace. They got no peace with themselves. How are they ever going to be at peace with anybody else? They're not at peace with their creator. How are they ever going to be at peace with the creation? It's an inward as it is outward. Here's a slide for you. Peace is not achieved. Peace is received. Peace is not achieved, peace is received. It's a big difference. It's a very different viewpoint than the world's view. And our scripture starts with people that are in gloom. It starts with people that are in darkness. They're in distress. They're wandering. They are not at peace. They're under pressure. There's pain. There's hurting. There's wandering. They're not seeing straight. They feel as if there's an absence of God. And Isaiah sees 700 years into the future to describe the event that Trevor just read to us. Unto us, a child is born. Here's your first one, crib. A crib. A child is born. Check out the crib, though. We should know it from all of our past stories. In a barn filled with hay, in a smelly manger, right? Probably an animal trough. Oh, there's the height of luxury, right? And in the midst of trial, in the midst of government oppression, that's why they're even there. They had to go somewhere because the government said you need to go register. And God moves in a way to have them where and when he wants them, just like he does you. And in the midst of the trial, in the midst of walking in darkness, Isaiah is describing that the people there have seen a great light. A child is born. God has humbled the land. They're struggling and striving to even survive. Hey, a child is born. In the midst of all the problems, hey, a child is born. In the midst of war, in the midst of warriors dividing the plunder, hey, a child is born. While the yokes are heavy and burdensome upon their lives, a child is born. While the oppressor's bars across their shoulders, weighing them down, hey, soldiers' boots and bloody clothes, burning fires. Can you even picture the smell? Hey, child is born. The world is ugly. Child is born. Unto us, a child is born. The curse of sin upon all mankind. Hey, in the presence of the enemy that surrounds us, hey, child is born. You don't seem to understand, Pastor. There's a global pandemic. No, you don't seem to understand. A child is born. Last night, I'm standing around with some of the city council members. We're about to light the Christmas tree down here. So, okay, I got the mayor, I'm going to do an invocation, we're missing one, we can't do the introductions with it, it's 6 o'clock, we're supposed to light the tree, where's the guy, where's he at, does anybody know where he's at, I haven't seen him, have you seen him, we're going to be late lighting the Christmas, there's hundreds of people here, they're ready, singers are ready to sing, we got to be ready, we got to light the Christmas, where's this guy at, we're all getting upset and uneasy, and then guess what he shows up with? He shows up with a 6-week-old little baby. Hey, how are you? Hey, where? Oh. Hey, unto you, a child is born. There is coming for you a Messiah. There is coming for you freedom. There is coming for you victory. There is coming for you hope and peace and a joyfulness that this world will not grasp nor understand. God has not forgotten you. God has not let you go, and he has not abandoned you. He is not far from you, for unto us a child has been born. That means God chose to come. That means God himself is a child. Fully God and fully man. Spirit becomes flesh. Emmanuel, God dwells with man. Spirit breaks through the physical realm and introduces himself to the world as a child. God chose to make a way to bring peace. God chose a way that brings you peace. Peace to your soul, peace to your heart. Will you receive the peace? And will you walk in that peace? Or do you think peace is the absence of non-strife in your life? Do I want a piece of peace? No, I want the whole piece of peace. Don't you? I want the whole piece of the pie, right? My doctor recently told me I need to calm down. Stress levels are too high in your life. Not good for your heart. You need to reduce the stress, limit your projects. You need to finish what you started. So I finished off the ice cream, and I finished off the potato chips, and I finished off the flan. Thank you, dear. Love you. And I am rather peaceful about it. We celebrate the birth of a child. It's Christmas. It's the reason for the season. There is no other reason for the season. It's not because it's wintertime. The reason for the season, celebrate the birth of a child. We didn't ask for him. We didn't earn him. God sent him in the fullness of time. God's idea, God's plan. We celebrate God's idea for mankind, the establishment of peace through a child, a reigning peace, a peace for right now. And forevermore. A shalom. You know, that means peace, right? Shalom. But it doesn't just mean a simple like, peace be with you. No. That peace means completeness. May your peace be complete and full. Overwhelming in your life. Shalom. Not just the absence of confrontation, not just the absence of pain, not just the absence of problems and the uncontrollable and the unexplainable. No, a completeness to who you are, walking in peace, regardless of what's around you. This work to bring peace was just the beginning as a child. From a child to a man, was Jesus at peace when he went to the cross? Was Jesus at peace when he went to the cross? For unto us a child is born, and for unto us a son is given. See, no one took the life of Jesus. His life was given. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. Cross, there's your next one. I submit from crib to cross. See, I can imagine that Isaiah not only saw a little child being born, laying in a crib, laying in a manger, a baby, but he saw a son that was given. Perhaps he even thought like Abraham, where Abraham rejoiced in the child that had come to into his life for so many years. He prayed and labored, and then there's a child, and now he has to sacrifice him. And maybe Isaiah sees a son given in honor to God. It is not even beginning to, in my mind, to seem unrealistic for us that we land on this passage in, when it's a day of communion, but it's also when we're thinking about a child and Christmas time. To think in terms of what Christmas really means. Was it his arrival really means to us? A child is born, spirit becomes flesh, a son is given, for he was born to die. We know that this child cannot stay a child, that this child must grow up and do the work that he was born to do, do the work that he was prophesied to do. He was sent to die, sent to sacrifice for your redemption. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his holy Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, and rose again to life. The place of peace is not somewhere, it is someone. The place of peace is not something, it is someone. It is this child, the Messiah. It is this man called Jesus. For in him dwells the light, in him dwells the hope, in him lives the greatness. In him is your miracle, in him is your healing, in him is your salvation. He is the Son of God. He is the peace that you have longed for. Will you receive it? He is the answers that you seek. He is the calm in the midst of all the trials and tribulations. He gives the wisdom and the knowledge. He came to destroy the destroyer, to kill death, to overcome the curse that is upon this world and upon all mankind. He came to offer you peace with God, peace with yourself, reconciliation, a peace with God, that you may be even begin to understand what it is to live at peace with a world that is unexplainable, uncontrollable, and full of pain. Will you receive Christ today in your heart? Will you receive the peace that this season has to offer you, found not in this world or in something or somewhere, but found in someone, Jesus Christ? A child is born. Today I invite you to accept the work of Christ. Today I invite you to partake with the family of believers in communion. This will signify and seal for us an everlasting covenant for the forgiveness of our sins, that we may walk in peace. Can I have my phone, please, so that I can grab and look up the church app, which is where you'll find a Bible, so that I can do some scripture reading. Thank you, love of my life. The fifth grade, I've been in love with that girl. My goodness gracious. Church app. If you don't have the church app, you should have the church app. It'll tell you who's in the doghouse. It'll tell you who we're praying for. It'll tell you what our scripture passages are. I asked Spencer to come and kind of join us today a little bit. I'm going to ask him to say a prayer for us, if he would. So we just read Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. Who wrote that? Who wrote that? Isaiah, very good. Yeah, that's all right. Your biblical literacy is through the roof. Yes. Awesome. Isaiah wrote it. Hey, I'm going to read to you something else he wrote. And we'll have communion together. And our communion here is an open communion. What does that mean? That simply means, have you accepted the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross for the forgiveness of your sins? It's as simple as that. Partake with us, for you are the family. You are the church. How many churches are there in Palm Beach County? One church. One family of believers. Here's Isaiah. Maybe it'll sound familiar to some of you. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot. And like a root out of dry ground, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should even desire him. He was despised, rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people would hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. And surely he took up our pain, and he bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We'll have a bread first as the body of Christ that was broken for us. Spencer, would you say a prayer for us, my brother? Thank you.
For our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities.
Yes.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Thank you, Father, for your suffering on Calvary's cross. Thank you, Lord, that you took our place, that you were nailed to the cross for our sins, and you suffered, and there you died, that we might have life, that we might have forgiveness. So, God, we remember you on this day. We take your body in remembrance of you, your death, burial, and resurrection. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let us partake together. Isaiah continues to write. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away, yet who of his generation even protested? He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, Yet, it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his judgment, my righteous servant will justify many more, and he will bear all their iniquities. Therefore, I will with him give a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils among the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for all transgressors. The blood of Christ upon a cross spilled and shed for you. If you would, my friend, say a prayer.
What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you that without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, and that Jesus shed his blood for us. So we remember Calvary again, the wounds that he took, the blood that he spilt, that covers our sin and makes us whole. We partake, remembering your cross, suffering, and your blood. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's partake together. Gracious Father, may there be a blessing upon each and every one who partakes within the family. And Father, may you continue to reign over your church. Continue to lead, guide, and inspire in the name of your Son. Amen. Thank you, Spencer. Appreciate that, my friend. All right, we're going to bring it home. We're going to bring it home. Stay with me. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son has been given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. His government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He was born of a virgin, suffered, crucified, died, was buried, and rose again. He ascended into heaven and is at the right hand of God. And from there, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. He is the Wonderful Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. He is crowned with many crowns. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. How is he your Counselor? How is he your Prince of Peace? How is he your Heavenly Father? He came to be this for all of us, for his church, for those that would be redeemed. Here's your last one. Crown. This Jesus, this, hey, a child is born, would grow up, suffer and die, be buried and rise again. And he's coming again. And he's coming again. He's building his kingdom now. He's building his church now. He's uniting his family now. He's drawing people back unto himself. And that government will be upon his shoulders. And the greatness of that government, of his government, will have no end. When there is darkness in this world and it starts closing in around you, remember the crib. Remember the cross. And put on a crown, because you have victory in the name of Jesus Christ. When the frustrations of this season seem overwhelming, bring in the Wonderful Counselor to help you through. When the devil starts spinning his web, trying to confuse you and confound you, call in the Mighty God who steps on the devil's tail and slaps him in the face and puts him in his place. When death is approaching and you seem scared, confused, lean on the Everlasting Father. And when you feel uneasy and you're questioning everything in your life, rest, rest in the arms of the Prince of Peace. there is great power available to you. The zeal of the Lord Almighty accomplishes this. Who's going to accomplish this? The Lord Almighty, not the United States of America. Who's going to accomplish this? Not the Republicans, not the Democrats. Who's going to, communism, socialism, fascism? Who's going to accomplish this? A government that is a bigger and a beyond this world. A government that can bring a peace that they do not understand. The Lord himself, not a man plan. Not a stand plan. A God plan. A God-sized plan in swaddling clothes. A child. A son given. A coming king. There's only one solution to the world's problems: belief in Jesus Christ. God's redemptive solution to bring peace is Jesus. Peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with everyone else. God's plan to rescue your soul is in Jesus. God's plan to save you from yourself, God's plan to fulfill his prophecy, God's plan to flood the world with his holiness, God's plan to establish a new covenant, God's plan. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you that you continue to reveal yourself to us. I pray that you would empower us to walk in the ways that you desire for us to walk. Father, bring us in alignment with who you are, who we are in you, that we may bring you honor and glory in the name of your Son. Amen.